So without further ado, we do have a word from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's going to be taken from, we're staying in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, 1 through 6. That's where we're going to be reading from. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and read it out, the Amplified Version. Then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump right into it. Amen?
Amen.
If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Everyone's got it. Romans 5, 1 through 6. This scripture you're familiar with. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through him also we have our access, introduction by faith into this grace, state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exalt in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance fortified develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Verse 5. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Verse 6. While we were yet in weakness, while we were yet sinners, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time, Christ died for, in behalf of, the ungodly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of the gospel. For your word is true, Lord God. Men try to disprove it, Lord God, but it can't be disproved. It is set in stone, Lord God. You said not one jot or tittle will be removed or changed in your word, Lord God. You exalt your word above your name. So we thank you for your word, Lord God, for the truth that we can rely on, that we can govern our lives by all that you've given us to live in and walk in, Lord God, in your word. Lord, we need to hear from you. Remove me, Lord God. Reveal your word to us, Lord God. We need to hear your word in our spirits, and we need understanding, Lord God, in that which you give us to know. Not that we need understanding to obey and do, but that we will be able to apply this to our lives, Lord God, that we will get the understanding of what you're trying to teach us and give us wisdom, Lord God, because we need to be doers of your word and not hearers only. We need to put this belief into action and prove our faith, Lord God. Teach us your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to go right from Romans 5, 1 through 6. So we're going to be talking about the 10 assets of justification. The 10 assets of justification. So there's some assets that come with justification. Amen.
Amen.
Being justified. So up to this point, in Paul's letter to the Roman church, Paul has been building his case against those who refuse to accept Jesus as their Christ. He also has clearly stated what God has done to provide salvation or justification by faith. Mm-hmm. Romans 5, he turns to us, the believers. So he starts to speak to us. Now that we have accepted Jesus Christ, what can we expect? What can we expect exactly is the value of our salvation?
Amen.
So what is exactly this value of our salvation? First of all, it's just the beginning of a great adventure.
Amen.
It's just the beginning of a great adventure. How come? Because after this, we get the good stuff. We think sometimes this is the good stuff here, accumulating things, going on trips, having money to do stuff, whatever have you. That's nothing compared to what's coming. It can't even be compared to. This stuff here is nothing compared to what's in glory. Next, it's a new relationship with the creator of the entire universe. You have a relationship now with the creator of the whole entire universe. What is that? I really don't totally get it. That one who created the vastness of all that is with the hundreds of billions of galaxies wants to have a relationship with us first. Because we didn't want to have a relationship with him. But he did want to have a relationship with us. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, it's a life with sights, scenes, and scents that we have never experienced before. A life, a brand new level of existence. It's another dimension. It's spiritual dimension. It's a whole different, it's a celestial lifestyle. It's not terrestrial here on earth, terra firma. It's celestial.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea what that is. What we do know is God promised it's going to be awesome.
Amen.
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 When we were first born into this world, we needed the needs of the flesh, right? We had all these needs of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, dad, and family supplied those needs, did they not?
Yeah.
They raised us, they fed us, they did everything they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
Now that we have been born again, born of the Spirit, we have spiritual needs. God fulfills those new needs, not us. It is God who fulfills these needs.
Amen.
Just as our parents fulfilled the needs we needed, God fulfills the new needs that we have. In these first six verses, Paul lists 10 benefits of salvation.
Amen.
10 benefits. Romans 5:1 is coming right out the King James Version. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Benefit or asset number one, peace. Peace with God. So why do we need peace with God? Because people don't think they need peace with God. This world, those who are outside of Christ, the family, don't have any idea they need peace with God. They have no idea that there is an account that they have to pay.
Amen. Amen.
They owe on an account. They owe God. But the problem is we can't pay it. Not on our best one sin day. We can't pay it.
Amen.
Only Jesus could pay that.
Amen.
Amen.
Because verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners. And 10 tells us that we were sinners and enemies with him before we trusted in Jesus our Christ. Jesus on the cross took away all that sin. If we are willing to place our full faith and trust in him, God sees us as though we had never sinned.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
you. See, we see each other in that way. You know, faults, failures, and everything else. God, he doesn't see us that way. He sees us as saints.
Yes.
That's an awesome thing.
Yes,
he takes all that stuff and casts it in the sea of forgetfulness.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
And never brings it up again. And even when we stumble and bumble, he says, come on, let's go.
Amen.
Repent and let's move on.
Amen. Amen.
And this is the creator of the universe, by the way. Who didn't have to have anything to do with us. Because he's that awesome and that massive.
Amen.
God is good.
Yes.
When we trust Jesus as our Christ, we find peace with God.
Yes.
He pursued us in our sin.
Mm-hmm.
He pursued us. We weren't pursuing him because he said on many occasions, is there anyone that's seeking after God? Right? There's no one. He pursued us in our sin to save us from ourselves and from eternal separation from him. He wants to save us from ourselves. Sanctification is God saving us from ourselves. We need God to save us from ourselves today. He made it all right for us. When we surrender our will, when we surrender our will to the Lord Jesus, quit running, quit resisting, and accept Jesus as our Christ, we have peace with God.
Amen.
See, the unbeliever doesn't have peace until he gives his life to Jesus. But the believer can't have peace unless he quits running, quits resisting. and accepts Jesus as Christ in their life, Savior, can't have peace.
Amen.
Mind's going in a whirlwind. Such peace opens up another door. Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This verse 2 actually lists three assets, three benefits. First one is access. The second one is grace. The third is rejoice in hope. So here's number 2, access. Just imagine this. Now listen. We are never out of reach of God Almighty.
Amen.
Are y'all listening? We have access to the throne room of grace. The Bible says, come boldly unto the throne of God.
Amen.
Where you would find mercy and grace to help in the time of trouble. Come boldly. We have access. We're just one prayer away. We're a prayer away. And since he takes up residence within us, it's always a local call. Because he's in residence with us. It's a local call. It's not long. Try calling the president. Give him a call today. See how much access you get. And this is the president of the United States. But you can call on God anytime you want. And he'll hear you. And he'll listen. And he'll answer. Now, it may not be the answer you want, but he will answer. See, I've heard it said that God's not speaking. See, I don't believe that. See, when Ernie, and he already said this, so I can repeat this. When Ernie was going through with his son wasn't talking to him. My daughter isn't talking to me. But it's not that I'm not speaking. It's they're not speaking. See, God's not speaking because we're not speaking to him. Now, the Holy Spirit's always prodding us and saying, look, get on your knees, talk to God, get in your word.
Amen.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. But God is always speaking.
Yes.
Why would we be, why would God Almighty, who is our Father, be silent? Have you all ever been silent with your kids? When your kids wanted to talk to you, did you say, no, I'm not talking to you? On a good day? Right? God is speaking. He's speaking. So it's a local call. By faith, trusting in the person of Jesus and the complete work of Jesus as our Christ gives us direct access to God the Father. No reason to feel left out. See, a lot of believers today feel left out. They feel lonely. They don't feel like no one's there for them. No one's listening. No one cares. This is believers in Christ. But you got the creator of the universe that indwells you. There's no reason to ever feel left out. There's no reason to ever feel lonely. Ever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
God, is that good? If we feel that way, it's because it's something in us. It's not God. It's us. Amen?
Amen.
The whole family of God surrounds us. You know he's assigned some angels to you?
Yes, sir.
He's assigned some angels to you.
Thank you.
To keep watch of you.
Thank you.
God's done everything. He's taking care of it all. That's awesome. That's awesome to me. And we have him to talk to all the time. And this brings us up to number 3. Grace. Pastor went in depth on grace. If you haven't listened to it again, I suggest you listen to it again. Part 1 and part 2. Grace is that unmerited favor of God. We don't deserve to be in the family of God. We don't deserve nothing. I know a lot of times as people, not even as believers, we believe we deserve some things. You know what we deserve? Know what we deserved? We deserved the lake of fire, hell. That's what we deserved. But because God reached down into creation of his own self, he redeemed us. Not because of us. Amen? We don't deserve to be in the body of Christ. We don't deserve it. But God used his grace to transfer our sins to Jesus on the cross.
Amen.
That same grace transferred his righteousness
Amen.
Back to us.
Amen.
He gave us his righteousness. This is the grace that God looks through to see us as acceptable to him. Amen. Worthy to be numbered among the family. Worthy to be in the body of Christ. It is God's grace that keeps us alive. Amen. Angie and her daughter survived. It's God's grace. Cara survived. It's God's grace. Mark survived. It's God's grace. You folks survived. It's God's grace.
Praise God.
It's God's grace.
Amen.
It is not us. We have no control over anything. We barely can control ourselves. It's God's grace.
Amen.
Wow, what an awesome God.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
It's God's grace that allows us to recover when we go astray. It's God's grace to allow us to recover when we fail.
Amen.
It's God's grace. Grace is the greatest motivator that we believers have. It's the greatest motivator. If you really study grace, if you listen to those two parts of the sermon and really get it, grace is amazing. That what God put us into of himself. Notice the verse, grace. Grace is something that we stand in. And it's an introduction to God's greater grace that we can grow into. That abundance of grace, which is listed in Romans 5:17. See, God wants to give us the abundance of grace. But we have to grow into that. And the way to grow into that is, we got to let go of self. It can't be our way. It's got to be God's way.
Amen.
If you want abundance of grace, it's got to be God's way. Because he put us into this grace through faith that we can have the abundance of grace. And abundance of grace is greater than any sin.
Amen.
Greater grace or spiritual maturity prepares us for God's surpassing grace that carries us through the transition of life from the temporary to the eternal. We're never going to die. Ever. And number four, that's why we rejoice in hope. Life can become rough, right? It can become painful, threatening, even terminal. Life can be bad from our perspective. But in Christ, we can see these as temporary aggravations. Because that's what they are. That's what 2 Corinthians 4 talks about. Temporary aggravations. On the launch pad, interruptions in the countdown to eternity. Because we're on a launch pad. We're on a countdown. Jesus is coming. He's coming. Look, things are lining.
Amen.
Things are lining. If we get out of 10 years, I'll be shocked. But hey, that's God's timing. That's God's timing. But things are happening. Swiss right now, Switzerland, their nation, is voting right now today if they're going to go back to the gold standard or allow the central bankers to keep debasing their monetary system. That's a real key issue in what our money's going to do around the world. Because we are on the dollar. The world's on the dollar reserve. It's on the dollar. So everything is traded in dollars. This key vote today is going to speak volumes to the future.
Amen.
Things are lining up.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Look, we're in a great time.
Yes, sir.
We're in an awesome time. The life that God designed us to live is that we should rejoice in hope. The life he prepared us to live in Jesus. As our Christ transcends time we spend on earth. See, if you're in Christ, truly in Christ, and in line with God's will, it will transcend the earthly realm and the space-time continuum. You come out of thinking, being rooted in earth, and you go to a heavenly-minded state. That's huge. So now, you're not consumed with worry and doubt and all sorts of things that can pop up. Amen?
Amen?
This is but the beginning, the shaping, the equipping. It's a time of testing, of strengthening. We can joy in hope that we have Christ Jesus. It's a guarantee that we will live throughout eternity, forever celebrating God for all his greatness and to fellowship with Jesus for all his love and sacrifice. Romans 5:3, coming up to number 5, asset 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, in today's English, this is how it reads. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance through time, holding on. So number five, we rejoice in adversity, which is same thing as saying glory in tribulation. So we rejoice in adversity. Believe me, it takes a well-grounded and well-tested faith to rejoice when the body hurts.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
When worry paralyzes. Because worry can paralyze.
Yes.
And if you worry, the opposite side is you don't trust.
Amen.
It's that, look,
Amen.
It's that simple. I honestly wish I could make it more difficult than that. But I can't. If you worry, you don't trust.
Amen.
That's the opposite side of it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
When medicine quits working. When strength fades. When there's more money than month. Huh? Hello? Hello? More money than month? Anyone? Hey. Look. When death becomes a welcome option for some folks, they want to get out. They're done. They're finished. They're like, I had it. It happens even in believers, even in preachers, pastors. It spans a whole human existence. No one is immune from hopelessness if you allow your mind to go there. Amen? But we can glory. That is, rejoice in such sufferings, because we have a risen Savior who overcame.
Yes, yes, he did.
What did he overcome? Way more than we ever had to. He resisted sin. Is that hard for some of us to do? Go ahead and say yes. This is yes. This is no. Yes. Jesus overcame. Resisting the temptation of sin. That's nothing light to take. You can't take that lightly. But how hard is it for us to resist sin? Go ahead and say difficult. This is yes. Come on. This is no. It's hard. He overcame. Our risen Savior, we can rejoice. Man, God is good. Who tells us that we will not be tested beyond that we can withstand? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Read that whole verse.
Yes, sir.
Who promised to work everything out for our own good. If we love the Lord. Because, you know, we like to misquote Romans 8:28, don't we? They're right. We don't like to quote the whole scripture. So it says, who promised to work everything out for our good, our own good. If we love the Lord, committed, because that's what that word love means there. Committed doesn't mean passion, doesn't mean friend, doesn't mean family love. It means if we are committed to the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
We're all called according to his purpose. Are you committed to seeing it through? Through the good times and bad.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Who said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Who does that in a human existence? Hey, look, it's tough. God is good.
Yes, he is.
Amen. This takes a faith with strength of titanium steel. See, this is real proof faith. This isn't talk faith. This is real proof faith. Amen?
Amen.
See, it's more than just saying, I believe. Because we like to, you know, do certain things and folks say, I believe. And then, you know, we're like, okay. Well, believe is more than just saying it.
Yes.
Believe is walking it out.
Yeah.
That's what belief is.
Yes.
Such strength and depth both are necessary for the next asset. Perseverance.
Yes.
Patience. See, perseverance is patience. Charles Stanley preached that this morning. About persevering, patience, waiting on God.
Amen.
It's an awesome sermon. Anyone here?
Yeah.
Woo! Man, we get so edgy and antsy, we don't know what to do. We want to go and help God and get all in there and work with them. And God, you're not doing it fast enough. This isn't what I want. We start kicking and screaming like kids because we are children. We're not grown adults in Christ. We're children. Amen?
Amen.
The regimen of life that God puts us through toughens us. Do you know your children born of battle? Do you know you're born in war? See, there was a war raging before you said yes to the Lord. There's a war raging now you said yes to the Lord. There's been a war. We've been born in war. We've been born out of war. The devil's been trying to hold us. Jesus trying to get us. And we say yes. Now we're still in war. The war hasn't ended. We're children born of war, born in battle. So God has to toughen us up. So he's got to get us tough. Because you know what he knows? We'll crumble. We're like bent reeds and smoking flax. That's what Isaiah says. That's what we are. Bent reeds. He doesn't break us completely. And we're just smoking flax. But he doesn't put us all the way out.
Amen.
When we know through the strongest of faith that God has our best interests at heart, we can persevere. When we know. Not when we think. Not when we assume. When we know. Bringing us up to number 7. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Romans 5:4. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. If perseverance does nothing else, it leaves us with proven character.
Mm-hmm.
Character. That can only be built through trials and tribulations. There's no other way to build character. You got to go through.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You got to go through. You got to go through storms. You got to go through trial. You got to go through some stuff to get a proven character. How did Jesus, how was he developed? The same way. He was developed the same way. So how are we going to be developed? Knowing, here's something for y'all. My wife probably didn't know I could look this stuff up. Knowing is a perfect participle. Now, I'm not an English major, not even by far, but I can write fairly well. But when you get to the nuances of the English language and how to put it all together, I need help. But knowing in this is what's called a perfect participle, completed action. Now, my wife's an English scholar, but it's a completed action, which means that what we knew in the past. So what we knew, we can count, we can continue to know in the future, even in the midst of a problem. Perfect participle.
Amen.
Knowing. You knew. So you can keep on knowing.
Amen.
Completed action. Amen?
Amen?
Surprised you didn't. I know I did. I know. I know I did. She's like, that boy knows some English? What? All right, here we go. Here's a principle. This is a principle that we have to stand on. We are not to let problems take us away from doctrinal thinking.
Amen.
That is a principle. We are not to let problems take us away from doctrinal thinking. And when you look at Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, that's doctrinal thinking. See, when we allow ourselves to go away from doctrinal thinking, then we allow everything else in. You name it. The strength, the power is always, always in the Word of God.
Amen.
We've been talking about counseling God's way for the last however many weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The power is always in the Word of God. You will find everything you need in life, no matter what situation you're in, you will find counsel in the Word of God for it. Whatever you think. The Word of God is a counsel. The Holy Spirit
Amen.
Is to help.
Amen.
Here's kingdom thinking. This is kingdom thinking. We're banking on the character of God and the validity of His Word. That's kingdom thinking. That's knowing. See, loss is we should be. That's loss. We should be thinking this way. See, kingdom thinking is we're thinking or we're banking on the character of God and the validity of his word. That's kingdom-mindedness. Knowing, regardless of our condition, God is immutable. He never changes.
Amen.
You know why he gets so disappointed with people? Because he changed like the wind. That's why we get so disappointed. We're people. Guess what, folks? Sorry to illuminate you with this, but that's what we do. Even the best of us. The best of us. Change like the wind. Only God is immutable.
Amen.
Never changes.
Amen.
His love and provisions are just as big and bigger. See, bigger than anything. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. Romans 5:15, write that down. And read it out the Amplified if you can. Read that one out the Amplified. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. So the little stuff that we go through and the sins we commit and what we're dealing with, it's nothing compared to the abundance of grace.
Amen.
It's out of all proportion. Kingdom thinking. Listen, we anticipate with full confidence that we are in his plan. That's kingdom thinking. We should be anticipating that God not only shows up, but he's there. Have you guys ever heard a song written by Brian Courtney, Already Here? We're already here. We watch and we wait and anticipate the moment you choose to appear. That's an awesome song. But at the end of the day, he said, we recognize that you're already there.
Amen.
You're already here.
Amen.
That's kingdom thinking.
Yes.
It's kingdom mindedness. He's already here. We have to anticipate God is going to do what he said he's going to do.
Amen.
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 Therefore, we can celebrate his greatness whether we are weak, strong, sick, or well. See, when you're kingdom-minded, it doesn't matter of the circumstances. Preached 3 weeks ago about virus, remedy, cure. See, circumstances direct a lot of believers, which should not be. Circumstances shouldn't move us like the wind. Jesus had more circumstances coming at him than you can shake a stick at. More than we've ever dealt with. But he wasn't governed by circumstances. I'm going to finish this up. This is longer, but I'm not going into this whole thing. I'm going to finish this up at 8. This is what gives us the 8th, 9th, and 10th assets. So here it is. Hope, which is expectation or confidence. The love of God and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read Romans 5:5 and Romans 10:11. And I'm going to end it in a couple more points. Amen. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given us. Literally, this says, and hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us.
Amen.
So he didn't leave us comfortless.
Amen.
He gave us the helpmeet. We got a helper.
Amen.
We have to learn to draw on the helper's strength.
Yes.
And not go at this alone.
Amen.
In Romans 10:11, for the scripture says, Paul quotes Isaiah 28:16, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The idea of shame as used here is one of disappointment. If his salvation failed, God would be shamed. See, if his salvation failed, God would be shamed. Because now God is not immutable. If his hope and assurance failed, God would be shamed. If his word were not true, God would be shamed. We would be disappointed, lost, no hope at all. Worst of all, God would not be God. But of course, God is God. His word stands.
Amen.
His promise is sound. His salvation is permanent. Consequently, we have full assurance, total confidence in Jesus Christ as our Christ. Amen.